Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear viewers, this is the fourth episode of the 20th topic. In this 20th topic, we have been discussing the nature of the transmission of the Quran. And in the last episode, I had discussed certain questions which arise on the transmission of the Quran. We had concluded the fact that the Quran that we have today in the form of Al-Qiraatul Amma has been transmitted to us by perpetual concurrence or tawatur and ijma, starting right from the Prophet and his companions, and this process has been going on ever since. But in this regard, after going through various discussions, we had come to the conclusion that this conclusion and this statement actually raises questions in the minds of people because of the situations which prevail today. And in this regard, we had started to discuss some nagging questions and answering them. In the previous episode, I had endeavored to answer four of these questions, and today and in the next episode, I will try to answer the remaining two questions which arise on this view. The questions that we had already discussed, for example, the first question that we had discussed in the last episode was that what is the origin of the huge corpus of variant readings attributed to various companions found in hadith, fiqh, and other books. So what exactly is the origin? Why do they exist in the first place? We had discussed this question in detail in the previous episode. Then we had also discussed that why are they regarded admissible if they fulfill certain criteria? And of course, this question arises in the background of the fact that when we say that Al-Qiraatul Amma is the only Qiraat which has to be followed, then why is it that they are regarded admissible? What perhaps is the reason that our scholars regard them to be admissible if they fulfill certain criteria? The third question view that we discussed was that the seven canonical readings which were chosen in the 3rd century by Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid, there are people who claim that they are mutawatir. And we had examined this claim and that this is absolutely baseless. And although we had just briefly touched upon it in an earlier topic, and perhaps topic 18, we had discussed in detail how this claim is does not hold any foundation, and that none of these canonical readings which have been chosen by Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid are mutawatir. All of them are ahad at best. And so therefore, this was also a conclusion that we had drawn. And then the fourth question, viewers, that we had discussed in the last episode was that what exactly is the connotation of tawatur transmission in the view of our general Muslim scholars, since the canonical readings do not exhibit tawatur? The dilemma that is faced is that on the one hand, it is claimed by all our scholars that the Quran is mutawatir, but then we have seen how the vast majority of our scholars say that the readings themselves are not mutawatir. The canonical readings are not mutawatir. So how should we reconcile the fact that the Quran is mutawatir, but the canonical readings are not mutawatir? So we had seen that although there are other people who claim that the readings are mutawatir or have other views as well, but we had tried to answer this question as well, that when our scholars say that the Quran is mutawatir and the readings themselves are not mutawatir, then how can this claim be perhaps reconciled? So it was still here that we had discussed these questions. Today, viewers, we will discuss another question, which is in fact is a part of a larger background, and I'll divide it into two questions, and one of these shall be discussed in this episode, and the last and the remaining one shall be discussed in the next episode. The question that we're going to discuss today is that why is it that there are certain countries, as opposed to certain countries or certain parts of countries which have a certain canonical reading? So there is a scenario that we need to understand. There are whole countries which have adopted a canonical reading, and they are countries in which certain parts of their territory have a canonical reading. So these are two different things that we are going to discuss separately. But today we'll discuss how certain parts of a country, as opposed to a whole country, became or adopted a complete canonical reading, and what is the explanation behind this? Because, of course, when it is said that the Qira'atul Amma is the only Qira'at which has been ordained or which has been specified by the Almighty and which the whole Ummah is reading, when this is the claim that we have made, then how come we have parts of some countries adopting a canonical reading, and then we have whole countries adopting a canonical reading? So these are the two questions. So as far as this distribution on the globe is concerned, as our knowledge keeps upgrading, we find this knowledge being increased and added to, because parts of countries which read a particular canonical reading, especially in the continent of Africa, become known. And I'm going to cite before you this distribution, which has actually been documented by Ibn Ashur in his Tafsir. And he died in 1393 Hijrah, and so therefore this is what he has documented here is the distribution of these canonical readings, both in their part and in their whole. And when I say part, I refer to the part of a country, and when I say whole, I refer to a whole country. So in his book, in his Tafsir, Tahrir, At-Tahrir wa-Tanwir, Ibn Ashur has documented this distribution on the globe in his times, which is almost half a century ago. So let me cite what he has actually said. He says, والقراءات التي يقرأ بها اليوم في بلاد الإسلام من هذه القراءات العشر هي قراءة النافع برواية قالون في بعض القطر التونسي وبعض القطر المصري وفي ليبيا وبرواية ورش في بعض القطر التونسي وبعض القطر المصري وفي جميع القطر الجزائري وجميع المغرب الأقصى وما يتبعه من البلاد والسودان وقراءة عاصم برواية حفص عنه في جميع الشرق من العراق والشام وغالب البلاد المصرية والهند وباكستان وتركيا والأفغان وبلغني أن قراءة أبي عمرو البصري يقرأ بها في السودان المجاور مصر. So he says that the readings which are read today in the Islamic countries from among these 10 readings, of course he's referring to the famous 10 readings, are the Rivaya of Qalun from the Qira'ah of Nafi in parts of Tunisia and in some parts of Egypt and in Libya, the Rivaya of Warsh from Qira'ah of Nafi in parts of Tunisia, in some parts of Egypt and in all of Algeria and in all of the Maghrib al-Aqsa and countries adjacent to it and in Sudan. And then the third Rivaya that he outlines is the Rivaya of Hafs from the Qira'ah of Asim in all of the east, from Iraq, Syria, a greater part of Egypt, India, Pakistan, Turkey, and Afghanistan. And the fourth one that he cites is, he says, I have come to know that the reading of Abu Amr ibn al-Ula al-Basri, and we know from our other sources that this is from the Rawaya of Ad-Duri, is read in those parts of Sudan that neighbor Egypt. So, in the neighboring areas of Egypt. So, if I just update this information a little by some of the other sources obtained from a website which is being displayed before you, we also note that the Rivaya of Duri from Abu Amr is also read in Hadramaut, which is, part of Yemen. And I'm sure there are some other details which might be missing here, because as far as the details are coming are concerned regarding parts of countries which read the certain canonical readings are still being updated in various books, and I have yet to find a complete source book which actually enlists all the countries with these distribution. But what we can gather from this data is simple, and that is that there are four rivayas which are being read and been narrated from their respected qaris. Thus we have Nafi, and his riwayah is from two of his students. One is Warsh and the other is Qalun. So these are two riwayahs. And then the we have the riwaya of Hafs from Asim, and of course we had seen that how in our own study this riwaya is actually reflects the qira'atul amma and has been ascribed to Hafs because of a particular reason that we have already discussed earlier. And then he says that we have the riwaya of Ad-Duri from Abu Amr al-Ula al-Basri. So these are the four readings which according to Ibn Arshur exist today. So today as I said in this episode, I shall try to discuss why parts of a country became confined to a particular canonical reading, and in the next question or in the next episode I shall discuss why a complete country adopted a set of a canonical reading. Now, viewers, a study of history shows that beginning from the 2nd century, areas like Makkah, Medina, Kufa, Basra, the Maghreb, Egypt, and Damascus developed into areas of Muslim learning. As the Muslim empire spread, these were the areas in which scholars who were actually students of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un, they settled in these areas, and these areas developed into areas of Muslim learning. And scholars who settled in these areas taught variant readings to their students the way they received them from their teachers. And of course, this is the same as the akhbar-e-ahad that they received. So they were receiving various akhbar from their teachers, and these akhbar not only included explanations of the Prophet in matters of the Quran and other areas of religion, they also included variant readings that which they received. And we have seen in the earlier episode that the decision that had been taken by our scholars very earlier on was that akhbar ahad which are received by the Prophet, they shall be entertained. So since they did not interpret these variant readings that I have explained earlier on, the akhbar ahad which contain these various variant readings in the light of the Surah Qiyamah verses, they were obligated actually to accept these akhbar ahad, and they started to teach these akhbar ahad to their students. So this is something which went on. And Ibn al-Jazari, in his An-Nashr fil Qira'at al-Ashr, has actually explained how these centers developed and how we find various people settling, various tabi'un and sahaba students settling in these areas and then making them centers of learning where these qira'at were taught. Thus, for example, he says that in Medina we have Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib, when we have Urwa ibn Zubair, then we have Salim, then we have Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Sulaiman ibn Yasar, Ata ibn Yasar, Muaz ibn al-Haris, Abdul Rahman ibn al-Hurmuz, ibn Shahab Zuhri, Muslim ibn Jundab, Zaid ibn Aslam. So these were the people, famous Tabi'un, who settled in Medina. And then in Mecca, he says, Ubaid ibn Umair, Ata ibn Abi Rabah, Taus, Mujahid, Ikrama, ibn Abi Mulaika. These are the famous scholars who settled in Mecca. In Kufa, we have Alqama, Al-Aswad, Masruq, Abida, Amr ibn Shurahbil, Al-Haris ibn Qais, Al-Rabi ibn Qaysim, Amr ibn Maimun, Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, Zir ibn Hubaysh, Abu Ubaid ibn Udayla, Abu Zura' ibn Amr ibn Jarir, Sayyid ibn Jubair, and then we have Ibrahim al-Nakhri, and then we have Ash-Sha'bi. And then in Basra, he says that the people who settle here are Amir ibn Abd al-Qais, Abu al-Aliya, Abu Raja, Nasr ibn Asim, Yahya ibn Ya'mar, Muaz ibn Muaz, then we have Jabir ibn Yazid, Al-Hasan ibn al-Basri, and Ibn Sidin, and Qatada. And then in Syria, he says that we have Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, who was a pupil of Usman, Khulad ibn Sa'ad, who was a pupil of Abu Darda. So viewers, in these areas, though the Qira'atul Amma was read in the masses, but the scholarly circles, a particular variant reading was taught in these scholarly circles because it was propagated by a particular scholar. The ones that I have just mentioned above, they were students of the Sahaba, and they were the people who would propagate this reading. However, a scholarly circle would change The variant reading would change with a change in scholar. This replacement, of course, would be because a scholar would adhering to a new reading would arrive, and then the people would start gathering around his reading, and the previous person who would leave that place would go away with his reading. So we find these readings changing in various areas in various periods of time, as I'll just demonstrate and give examples. That in as far as these areas themselves were concerned, the masses read the Qiraatul Amma. It was the scholars themselves who were confined to these areas, who inherited these readings from some Sahaba. And as I said, for whom, as Imam Shafi had pointed out, it was obligatory to adopt these and to follow these. So these were the people who read the Quran on certain readings, and when that scholar left that place and went to some other place, then that reading also went with him to another place, and some other scholar replaced him. And Makki ibn Abi Talib, while describing the situation in the 2nd century, writes, وَكَانَ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ الْمِئَتَيْنِ بِالْبَصْرَةِ عَلَىٰ قِرَاتِ أَبِي عَمَرْ وَيَعْقُوبِ. Now I am trying to show how these readings got displaced from their places of origin. They started at some place and then they went away. And that is the mechanism that I am now going to try to explain. So, Makki ibn Abi Talib says, وَكَانَ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ الْمِئَتَيْنِ بِالْبَصْرَةِ عَلَىٰ قِرَاتِ أَبِي عَمَرْ وَيَعْقُوبِ وبالكوفة على قراءة حمزة وعاصم وبالشام على قراءة ابن عامر بمكة على قراءة ابن كثير وبالمدينة على قراءة النافع واستمروا على ذلك فلما كان على رأس 300 أسبط ابن مجاهد اسم الكسائي وحذف يعقوب. So by the beginning of the 2nd century, people of Basra followed the reading of Abu Amr and Yaqub al-Hazrami. Those of Kufa followed the reading of Hamza and Asim. Those of Syria followed the reading of Abdullah ibn Amir. Those of Mecca followed the reading of Abdullah ibn Kasir. And those of Medina followed the reading of Nafi. This situation continued till at the beginning of the 3rd century, Ibn Mujahid replaced the name of Yaqub with Al-Kisai. So this has been recorded by, this is a view of Makki ibn Abi Talib, and as recorded by Suyuti in his Al-Itqan. Now, viewers, the point of interest and a point that is worthy of noting is that none of these readings which started from their places of origin today exists where it is. Thus, for example, we know that the reading of Nafi originated from Medina, as has been pointed out. We see that how Makki ibn Abi Talib has also outlined that. So the reading of Nafi from Medina, then we have Ibn Kasir from Mecca, Asim from Kufa, Hamza and Kisai also from Kufa, Abu Amr from Basra, and Ibn Amir from Syria. They are no longer found in these places. And there is also no historical record that tells us that they were forcibly exterminated from these areas. It is not that they were forcibly exterminated. Otherwise, we would have this historical record that Medina was the place where Nafi's reading was read, but it was enforced by some royal decree, and it was exterminated from that place. And it also may be pointed out that no effort was made at the official level, viewers, to promulgate the Qiraatul Amma by suppressing others in spite of regarding others to be of the same status. In all the three major empires after the rightly guided caliphate, the Umayyads, the Abbasids, and the Ottomans, it was never enforced at the expense of these readings. There is no historical record. It was never adopted at this in this way. It always existed in the living tradition of the Muslims in all these areas. It was read as the Qiraatul Amma. Now, to me, the only plausible explanation of this is that scholars who adhered to these readings moved away from these places, and as they moved away, these readings fizzled out. But at some places, they still remained. And this could be because of the influence of that particular scholar. And that is why we find, for example, parts of a country still adhering to a certain canonical reading of a qari who had an ikhtiyar. And thus, for example, Ibn Ashur has pointed out that Abu Amr al-Ula's reading is read in parts of Sudan, and also in parts of Yemen, as we have seen in Hazramaut. So we can clearly see, viewers, that to me, since there was no forcible extermination of the places from which these readings originated, and the Qira'atul Amma was not enforced forcibly by eliminating these readings, the only plausible explanation that comes to mind is that actually scholars who read these readings left their place, and therefore in scholarly circles, a new scholar replaced another scholar, and then this happened that that reading would be adhered to. And at times when the scholar would leave that place, the reading would no longer be read there in scholarly circles. But I'm making this distinction that the Al-Qira'atul Amma was being read by the masses. That was something else. That was a case of dual transmission being going on. So on the one hand, scholarly circles were reading those Akhbar-e-Ahad which they had received, but the masses were reading the Qira'atul Amma. However, these scholarly circles, as scholars would shift from one place to another, either the reading would travel with them, and in spite of traveling, it would still remain in the place where it originally was and would not fizzle out, as is the case, for example, of Abu Amr's reading in parts of Yemen. And in other places, it would just fizzle out. Thus, we no longer find the seven canonical readings in the scholarly circles in any of these areas being read. All these areas, Kufa, Basra, Makkah, Medina, Syria, they have the Qira'atul Amma. So to me, the explanation is simple, that the scholars which moved from those places actually took away the reading with them, and where it remained, of course, it still remains still now because of the influence of that particular scholar. But as far as the masses are concerned, the Qira'atul Amma is still going on. And I'm going to give you some examples as well. Ibn al-Jazari, while referring to his own time, says that the reading of in Ash-Sham, Al-Hijaz, Al-Yaman, and Misr is that of Abu Amr al-Ula. Similarly, record that till the 5th century, people of Ash-Sham would be on the reading of Ibn Amir. However, later, when a person came and started to teach the reading of Abu Amr at the Umabi Mosque, people gathered around him, around this reading, and it became famous. So you can see it replaced the reading. So the reading of Abu Amr, of Ibn Amr, Abdullah ibn Amr, got replaced by the reading of Abu Amr, because a new scholar came, and people then gathered on his reading. Again, this is referring to the scholarly circles. So this is something which is going on ever since in the scholarly circles, that people are gathered on a scholar, and then either that scholar moved away or his influence still remained, and that process is still continuing in many parts of the some parts of the globe. Now, it is also recorded that before the reading of Nafi became dominant, because of the efforts of Muhammad ibn Khairun in North Africa, the reading of Hamza prevailed. So we're going to discuss this separately in the next episode, regarding the reading of Nafi, because the reading of Nafi has been adopted by a complete country, like, for example, Morocco and Al-Maghrib. But that we shall leave. But we know historically, before the reading of the Qira'at of Nafi was dominant in Maghrib, the Qira'at of Hamza was there. So you can see, viewers, that these readings being replaced by other readings in scholarly circles one by one, except, of course, where a country adopted them. That I'm going to deal separately, because we know that that is a separate affair. But as far as parts of a country are concerned, it is because of the influence of a scholar that either remained or fizzled out or existed in parts. So, in other words, when it is said in our Qira'at books that certain areas read the Qur'an on the reading of certain scholar readers or the Qurra, this statement, viewers, does not refer to the common masses. You had often heard of the fact that the people are gathered on this reading. It does not refer, in my humble opinion, to the common masses. It, in fact, refers to particular scholar readers and his circle of followers. So, when it is said that there's a consensus of people in that certain area, it is not actually a consensus which relates to the total, all the population, but refers to the scholarly circles. And this is because it is rationally not possible, viewers, for the common man to change a reading. It is rationally not possible that they shift from one reading to another reading in short periods of time. The common man, the Qiraatul Amma, the way it was memorized and transferred, that was continuing parallel to these scholarly transmissions that took place in scholarly circles. For the common man, it is absolutely impossible to change from reading to the other. This is only possible for readers who were memorizing and reading particular qaris and their riwayas. The common man, as I said, is not equipped to switch from one reading to another in various periods of history, except where it is implemented by the state, and that, of course, we shall take up separately where a whole country is dealt. So thus, for example, viewers, when Ibn Mujahid refers to the acceptance of the seven canonical readers in some areas, he writes, فَهَاُلَىٰي سَبْعَ نَفْرْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْهِجَازِ وَالْعِرَاقِ وَالشَّامِ خلفوا في القراءة التابعين وأجمعت على قراءتهم العوام من أهل كل مصر من هذه الأمصار التي سميت وغيرها من البلدان التي تقرب من هذه الأمصار. So these seven from Hijaz, Iraq and Syria inherited the reading of the Tabi'un, and there is a consensus of the people of these territories I've just mentioned and other nearby areas on the reading of their respective readers. So here, this is the point that I'm trying to make, that the word consensus, you see, the words used are وَأَجْمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ قِرَاتِهِمُ الْعَوَامِ. There is a consensus of the people. Here it refers to, not to the awam and in the general sense as the population, it refers to people who learned these various readings from their teachers and not to every individual of that society. So it can be said that in these areas of Muslim learning, which I've just outlined, like Kufa, Basra, and Syria, there is a case of dual transmission. As far as the ulama are concerned and the scholar are concerned, they are transmitting those readings which they receive from their students and from the Sahaba as akhbar ahad. And the reason that they received, we have already discussed basically it was as a historical record that was being transferred. A historical record from the Prophet, but because ultimately this historical record, the distinction between historical record and actual qiraat became blurred, and people started to transmit these akhbar ahad as if they were the Quran themselves. Whereas, as I have shown earlier on, that they were mere historical record of the arz-e-ura qiraat, of the qiraat of the chronological transmission of the Quran. And viewers, we know that that was read to the masses, and other was also known to the scholars that they read and adopted both. So we also know that the transmission in the scholarly circles kept on changing. So as far as the Qiraatul Amma is concerned, it continued to be read the way it is being read today. It is an exact reflection of what is going on today. But as far as the scholarly circles are concerned, which were in the influence of these areas of Muslim learning, we had this scenario in which the scholars, as the scholar would change, the qiraat would also change. Or it would at times remain, as we have seen, that there are parts of some countries in which, although the whole country has adopted that reading, but part of the country has adopted a particular reading. And there is also, it may be noted that in other areas or areas which were not an influence of these learning centers, the issue of adopting a particular variant reading never arose. These were the areas in which the Quran actually came through Muslim traders or Muslim conquerors or the conquering or the general masses. And the profoundest example of this phenomena can be seen in India, where Islam entered in the first century of its history. This was the time when Hafs ibn Sulaiman, whose reading is in vogue in this area, was still an infant. Later in this, the same scenario can be witnessed in Indonesia, Malaysia, Turkey, and some other countries of Central Asia, like Iran, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Iran. So you can see that as far as those Muslim learning areas were concerned, we had a scenario of dual transmission, in which scholarly circles, a particular qiraat would be read and then replaced or not replaced, whereas the Qiraatul Amma would continue to be read in these areas. However, other areas in which Islam did not enter through these scholars, but in fact entered through the masses, or like the conquerors, or through other means like traders. They carried with them the Qiraatul Amma because they were the masses and they were already reading the Qiraatul Amma. And the most, as I said, perfect example of this phenomena can be seen in countries like Malaysia, Pakistan, Indonesia, in which actually Islam arrived through the common masses. And we can see the Qiraatul Amma in all these places, and there is no issue of you will not find any dual transmission issue. You will not find scholars in any of these territories reading some other qiraat. All the scholars and the masses are reading the same qiraat, which is the Qiraatul Amma, in these areas. The case of dual transmission arose in those areas. And I'm now going to provide another very interesting scenario, which has been given by a famous geographical historian, Al-Bashari, that he has actually in his own times, which is the 3rd, 4th century, he has actually divided the world into two parts. And he has told us that there are basically this is the Arab world, which he calls the Akalimul Arabiya, and then he has the Ajam, the non-Arab world, which according to him he has named as Akalimul Ajam. So as far as the area is concerned, you can see the map also, which is slightly blurred, but if you concentrate on the map, you'll find this division that he has actually divided the world into the Akalimul Ajam and the Akalimul Arabiya. So as far as the Akalimul Arabiya is concerned, viewers, you can see that he has divided it, the Akalimul Arab, into basically areas which are 6 in number. And they are Jazeera al-Arab, then we have al-Iraq, then we have Qur, which is actually Mesopotamia, then we have al-Sham, and then we have Misr, and then we have al-Maghrib, which is the 6th. And then he has given us the Akalimul Ajam, which is, of course, the non-Arab areas. And they are al-Mashriq, number 1, then number 2 is al-Dailam, then we have al-Rihab, number 4 is al-Jibal, then we have number 5 is Khuzestan, number 6 is Faris, number 7 is Kirman, number 8 as Sindh. So these are the 8 areas of the Akalimul Ajam. So we need to understand it. In all these areas, in the Arab territories, the Akalimul Arabiya, he records some variant reading or the other being in vogue. So what I'm trying to point out here is that in the Akalimul Arabiya, he has pointed out that there is some variant reading or the other which is in vogue, and I'm just going to give the details as well. However, viewers, in the Akalimul Ajamiya, the non-Arab areas, except for Al-Jibal, the existence of no variant reading is recorded by him, in spite of the fact that he records various juristic and scholastic schools present in these areas. This is something of very importance to note, that in the Arab areas, he has recorded some variant reading existing among some of the canonical readings. But in the Ajam areas, except for Al-Jibal, he has not recorded any reading being existing there. And the only logical conclusion here is that the Qiraatul Amma was found here, because he would have definitely mentioned the reading, because his pattern is that he mentions, as far as the Arab territories are concerned, the Akalimul Arab are concerned, Arabiya are concerned, he mentions the reading which are in vogue. But in the Ajam territories, except for Al-Jibal, he just mentions the juristic schools, which is a very clear indication to me, in my humble opinion, that the Qiraatul Amma was here, and it was being so common that it did not even require any mention. So, viewers, now let me just give you some more details of what I have just said, so that it will become more evident before you that that Muhammad ibn Ahmad al-Maqdisi al-Bashari, that is his name, and the book in which he has given this information is Ahsan al-Taqasim fi Ma'rifat al-Aqalim. So this is how he gives this information. So as far as the Jaziratul Arab is concerned, al-Bashari divides this province into the following 4 regions: Hijaz, Yemen, Oman, and Hajar. To these he adds the following 4 suburbs as well: al-Aqaf, al-Ashhar, Al-Yamama and Kur. Now, according to Al-Bashari, the reading which are prevalent here are in Mecca, the reading of Ibn Kathir, in Yemen, the reading of Asim, and remaining areas, the reading of Abu Amr. So this is how he has explained the Jaziratul Arab part. Now, let's move on to the next territory, and that is Iraq. Now, as far as Iraq is concerned, Al-Bashari divides this province into the following six regions: Kufa, Basra, Wasit, Baghdad, Hulwan, and Samarra. Now, according to Al-Bashari, all the seven canonical readings are prevalent in these areas. In the past, the reading of Hamza was prevalent in Baghdad and that of Yaqub al-Hazrami in Basra. And Al-Bashari says that he had seen Abu Bakr al-Jartaki read according to this system, that is Yaqub's, and lead the prayer at the Great Mosque. And then, viewers, as far as the third part, the third area is concerned, that is Aqur. In the case of Aqur, Al-Bashari divides this province into the following three regions. They are Rabia, they are Mudhar, they are Bakr. It has four suburbs: Jazira, Ibn Umar, Suruj, Kafarzab, and Kafar Sirin. Now, according to Al-Bashari, the jurists of this province would adhere to the reading of Abdullah ibn Amir. Next, viewers, he gives details regarding Sham or Syria. Now, Al-Bashari divides this province into the following six regions: Kinasirin, Hims, which is Emesa, Dimashq or Damascus, Urdun or Jordan, Philistine, which is Palestine, Ash-Sharah. Now, according to Al-Bashari, the reading which dominates this province is that of Abu Amr, except in Damascus, only where no one can lead the prayer except the one who reads the reading according to Abdullah ibn Amir. This is most known to people and preferred by them. Moreover, the reading of Al-Kisai is also widely known in this province. Now, let's move on to the fifth province, and that is Misr or Egypt. Al-Bashari divides this province into the following seven regions: Al-Jifar, Al-Hawf, Al-Rif, Iskandaria, which is, of course, Alexandria, Macedonia, which is Macedon, Al-Sa'id, Al-Wasit, Al-Wahad, which is Oasis. And according to Al-Bashari, all the seven readings are found in this province, though that of Ibn Amir is the least. The most prevalent is that of Nafe. Viewers, then he goes on to the sixth, and that is Al-Maghrib, sixth and final. So these are the six territories of the Aqalimul Arabiya. So as far as Al-Maghrib is concerned, Al-Bashari divides this province into the following nine regions: Barqa, Ifriqiya, Taharat, Sijil Masa, Fas, which is Fez, As-Sus, Al-Aqsa, Al-Isqiliya, which is Sicily, Andalus, which is Spain. And according to Al-Bashari, the only reading found in this province is that of Nafe. So this is as far as the territories of the Aqalimul Arabiya are concerned. Now, viewers, let's move on to the Aqalimul Ajam. There are eight of these territories. The first is Al-Mashriq. So Al-Bashari does not divide it into regions. He calls it one region having two territories, both on each sides of the river Oxus or the river Amu. On one of the sides, he calls the Haytal, and the other the Khurasan side. While Al-Bashari does not record anything about the Quran readers or readings, he mentions that the dominant fiqh is that of Abu Hanifa, except in some areas where that of the Shafi'ites is found. So you can see, viewers, that in the Kalimul Arabiya, he was just outlining the readings which were found in various areas. But as soon as he has come to a Kalimul Ajam, he's not outlining any reading found in these areas. All he is describing is the schools of jurists which prevail in these areas. Next, viewers, is the province of Dailam. Al-Bashari divides this province into five regions, and this is Fumis, Jurjan, Tabristan, Ad-Dailaman, and Al-Khazr. While Bashari does not mention anything about Quran readers or readings, he mentions that the dominant fiqh is that the Hanafites are found in Kaumas in most parts of Jurjan and some parts of Tabristan, while in the rest of the areas of Hanbalites, of areas, Hanbalites and Shafi'ites are found. In Jurjan and Tabristan, the Shi'ites have a prominent voice. So this is how he has explained. Now, let's come to the third region, and that is Ar-Rihab. So Al-Bashari divides this province into three regions, Al-Arran, Armenia, and Azerbaijan. And again, he does not say anything about Quran readers or readings in this area. He says that all juristic schools are found in this province, but the Ahlul Hadith are predominant. In Deybul, Abu Hanifa's school is predominant, and in some cities, these juristic schools are found without predominance. So now let's come to the fourth area, and that is Al-Jibal. So Al-Bashari divides this province into three regions and seven suburbs. The regions are Ar-Ray, Al-Hamazan, Asfahan. The suburbs are Qum, Kashan, As-Samara, Karaj, Waters of Kufa, Waters of Basra, and Shahrazur. Al-Bashari mentioned that the readings adopted here are those of Abu Ubaid, Abu Hatim, the Idgham of Abu Amr, and Ibn Kathir. And as I said, this is the only exception that he has mentioned of Al-Jibal. And of course, this can be accounted for as well, or even discounted. Now, the fifth region, viewers, is of Khuzestan. And Al-Bashari divides this province into seven regions. This is Assus, Al-Jundesabur, Tustar, Askar Mukram, Al-Ahwaz, Ram, Hormuz, and Ad-Dawrak. Again, he does not mention anything about any reading being present here. Only he says that the fiqh of Hanafites, the Shafites, and the Hanbalites were found in its various areas. Now, viewers, let's come to the sixth territory here and of the Aqalim al-Ajam, and that is Faris. So Al-Bashari divides this province into six regions and three suburbs. Ar-Rajan, Ardashir, Qurra, Darabarharad, Shiraz, Sabur, and Istakhar. The suburbs are Ruzan, Niriz, and Khasv. I must apologize for some mistakes that I must have made in the pronunciation, because the extant areas have changed, and the pronunciation of these older areas at times was difficult to exactly pinpoint and find out. So this is as far as as Faris is concerned, and he does not mention while Bashari does not mention the existence of any Quran readings, he mentions the existence of the Ashabul Hadith and the Hanafites in this region, which is the Faris region. And then the seventh region is Kerman. So he divides this province into five regions and one suburb: Bardasir, Nirmasir, As-Sirajan, Bam, and Jarafat. And the one suburb is Khabis, or Khabis. So again, there is no mention of any Quranic reading in this area. And he says that the Shafites are the dominant jurists which are present in this area. This is, viewers, as far as Kerman is concerned. And then, viewers, let's come to the last area, and that is in Sindh. There's an area of called Sindh. And Bashari divides this province into five regions: Mukran, Turan, As-Sindh, Waihand, Kannauj, and Al-Multan. Again, he does not mention any reading prevalent here. He states that most of them are Ahlul Hadith, while the people of Multan were Shiites, and in the villages, the Hanafites, jurists are found. So, viewers, you can clearly see from this small survey that as far as the Aqalim al-Ajam are concerned, whenever Bashari speaks about them, except for Al-Jabal, we find that in seven of the areas, he only mentions the juristic schools present there. He does not mention the Qiraat or any school of reading being read there. And the only plausible explanation to me is that since the Qiraatul Amma was prevalent here, so therefore this was not even needed to be mentioned. Whereas in the case of the Aqalimul Arab, Arabiya, he specifically mentions the Qiraat which were found there. So the question arises that if that is the case, that he has mentioned the Qiraat in the case of the Aqalimul Arabiya, various Qiraat, and if there were various Qiraat also in the Aqalimul Ajam, why did he not mention them? The question arises, and as I said, to me the most plausible explanation is that this is simply because in these areas, these are the areas in which the Qiraatul Amma was prevalent, and these were the areas in which the Quran entered primarily through the masses, and who of course read the Qiraatul Amma. Now, viewers, even more interesting is the stress scholars would give in adopting the Qiraatul Amma and disregarding individual variant readings. And this has Bashari has recorded. So even more interesting is the stress scholars would give that they should adopt, that people should adopt the Qiraatul Amma. Thus, al-Bashari has recorded his dialogue with the Qazi of Zabid while he was in Akur in Mesopotamia. So again, in the Kalimil Arabiya, so this is one of the area of the Arab territories. Even here, we find that scholars would urge people, the common masses, to adopt the Qiraatul Amma. So I'm just going to cite a dialogue between Bashari and with the Qazi of Zabid while he was in Akur. Now, this concerned al-Bashari's preference of Abdullah ibn Amir's reading. So Abdullah ibn Amir, Bashari himself, who's the author of this book, and about whom I have narrated, who has given all this information, he was actually giving preference to Abdullah ibn Amir's reading. But he had a debate with the Qazi of Zabid, and some very noteworthy points can be seen. So here is what it is recorded between the two. And it says, فَإِنْ كَالَ أَلَسْتَ مِمَّنْ لَقِيَ مَشَايِخَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْوَرْ وَأَكْسَرُهُمْ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ التَّجْرِيدِ وَيَخْتَارُونَ قِرَاةَ الْعَامَّةِ أَجِبْنَاهُ بَلَا لَكِنِّي لَمَّا سَافَرْتُ وَشَاهَدْتُ أَئِمَّةَ الْمُقْرِئِينَ أَحْبَبْتُ التِّلَاوَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَخْذَ الْفَوَائِدَ مِنْهُمْ فَكُنْتُ إِذَا قَرَأْتُ بِالْجَائِزِ هَوَّنُوا أَمْرِي وَأَحَالُونِي عَلَى تَلَامِيذِهِمْ فَإِذَا جَرَّدْتُ أَقْبَلُوا عَلَيَّ. So if he, the Qazi, were to say, this is what Al-Bashari is saying, if he, the Qazi, were to say, are you not of those who have met scholars and pious people, while most of them forbade individual readings and preferred the reading of the masses, which is the Qiraatul Amma? I answer, yes. When I traveled to meet the chief readers, I wanted to read under their tutelage and benefit from them. Yet when I would read by the reading of the masses, al-Jais, they would not give me importance and consign me to their students. However, when I read on an individual reading, they would welcome me. So this is a very eye-opening dialogue. The above citation should be no less than an eye-opener, that even in the Akalimul Arabiya, authorities and scholars would actually prohibit people from following the individual reading of a reciter and would urge them to follow the reading of the masses, which is, of course, the Qiraatul Amma. So viewers, also evident from this data is that it was primarily in scholarly circles and mosques in which these canonical readings were read, and they never infiltrated in the masses. You can clearly see that people who were the common masses, they were being told by even scholars to adhere to the Qiraatul Amma, while they themselves, as I have posited and hypothesized that they adhere to a particular reading. So viewers, this is my explanation of how we find today parts of certain countries adhering to a certain canonical reading. And I have tried to explain to the best of my comprehension how the situation today prevails and how it actually originated. Basically, it was the scholarly circles in which these readings prevailed, and their students were responsible of spreading their readings. But this went on in the scholarly circles, in their students. As far as the Qiraatul Amma is concerned, it always remained in the masses, and it still is in the masses. And as far as those students are concerned, as I said, when they would move, the scholars would move from one place, either the reading would also move with them, and would not be found in the original areas. And the biggest example of this is that the seven canonical readings, the places of their origin, they are not found there anymore. None of them is found there. At all their places, the Qiraatul Amma exists. And I've already pointed out that there was no forcible extermination of these readings. They were not forced out. Neither was the Qiraatul Amma forced upon them. So the only plausible explanation was that the scholars who would read these readings would move from one place to another. And when they would move, either the reading would move with them and get replaced by another scholar, or it would fizzle out, or it would remain because the students of those scholars would remain. And that situation is still persisting. But all this is happening in those scholarly circles. As far as the common man is concerned, he is only aware of the Qiraatul Amma. So, viewers, in the next episode, inshallah, I will try to analyze how a particular country adopted a certain set of canonical readings and what was the reason behind it. Until then, أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ.